The faith that takes. And we're in this area called faith, the anointing connector. Very major in terms of the lessons of faith. Isaiah and chapter 10. I'll pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the anointing on me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the what? The anointing." What did we say the anointing is? God's what? Burden removing, keep going. Yoke destroying power. Okay? Now, in this, we go to the verse, chapter 11, and we talk about the anointing now in terms of its aspects. And there's verse 1, "And there shall come forth a rod," that's a vine, "out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch," or branches, "shall grow out of his roots." Remember what Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." All right. Remember, the fruit comes forth on the branches. All right. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Now, we want to eventually cover each one of these, not in detail, but we want to touch base on each one of these so that you can understand the anointing that is on Jesus. When he got up in the synagogue, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, notice what he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's one of the spirits here, the Spirit of the Lord. "For he has anointed me to preach." Now, notice what he had to have. He had to have an anointing to preach the message of God, to the people, to the poor in this case. "To heal also the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the minister, and sat down, the eyes of all them that were fastened on him. Now, all these anointings were working on Jesus. All these anointings were working on him. There are seven aspects to these, and all of those were working on Jesus Christ. Let's go now over to Matthew's gospel, and let's go over to Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, praise God. Let me know when you get there. All right, look what it said in verse 53. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence has this man this what? Wisdom and these what? Mighty works." Okay? Works of might. Works of power. They were happening with him. But it seems like they put wisdom before the works. All right? So now, if you go back here and look at Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 21. And I'll start reading here at verse 15. "For I will give you a mouth and what? Wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist." Wow. That wisdom that comes on you is so powerful that it will give you things to say that even your adversaries can't even say anything about it. Isn't that wonderful? Now, This same anointing came on God's people. Now let's go first to Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10. Now understand, it was prophesied in Joel chapter 2. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now understand, the Old Testament, pretty much the anointing was restricted to the prophets, the priests, and the kings, and on special people for special acts that God wanted them to do. But for the most part, that was the place where the anointing was. But in the last days, that is the days we're in now, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on everybody. All right, look what it says here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the who? Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For who was with him? For God was with him. Now in Acts chapter 1, please. So now here's the Spirit of God speaking about what's going to happen, and through Jesus Christ, Jesus is talking to them, his disciples. Verse 6, Acts 1, 6. And when they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive what? Power. Now that's the ability of God coming on human flesh to do what only God can do. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. That's the main reason for it coming. And unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's where you are now, in Judea, that means the city round about you, Samaria, that means the next place over, and then the other parts, other utter parts of the earth. So now, when he was had spoken these things, he was taken up in a cloud. Now, chapter 2 is when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one place with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak, come on, in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? The Parthians, the Medes. Now they're spelling out to you all the nations that were represented there. And verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are just full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the who? Prophet Joel. Now that is what I want you to see. They spoke in a language they never went to school to learn. I better say that again. They spoke in a language they never went to school to learn. I said they spoke in a language that they never went to school to learn. Let's go over to, I better not show you all that yet. You might leave. Well, maybe I better show you. Praise God. Save some time here. Come on. Okay. Let's go. You only have that in Living Word. Come on. That's okay. I like that. Praise God. I'd rather for that than a dead church, you know. Nobody say anything and you can't get nothing out. All right, let's go over to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Now, Judges is after Joshua. Judges chapter 6. And let me know when you get there. All right, now, what I want to show you tonight is just mainly one principle. I mean, some other things may be in there. One is that the anointing of God comes on an individual. And if that individual will allow, the anointing of God will take them far beyond their training or their natural abilities. I know that sounded, you know, kind of like, yeah, I heard that before. But let's look at this. Now, this is when the Lord was providing leadership and chose an individual to be the leader. And the individual that he chose was a man named Gideon. Now, what I want to bring out is the one thing that they said is, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They were busy trying to disqualify Jesus. But the anointing was the thing that was enabling him. Oh, I want you to see this. God does not need our ability. He needs our availability. Is that, can y'all follow that? Now, I want you to see this because in the natural here, Gideon is disqualified. He is not the choice that these people would think God would make. Because they don't understand the anointing or the blessing or have faith in it. And as a result of this, they were, you know, collecting their harvest, and the Amalekites and all of them were coming down and stealing from them and so forth. So the children of Israel were in a bad shape. So God's raising up this man. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which is an Ophrah, and that pertaineth to Joash, the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress and hid it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. O Lord. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy what? Might. Underline the word now. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Watch this next one and underline this. Have not I what? Sent thee. Now that's a key word. Because again, God doesn't need your ability. I want you to hear this. Now if you have abilities, thank God for it. But if you don't, he'll add to it. If he's sending you, he will qualify you. And look what it says here, verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is what? Poor. In other words, the poorest of the tribe in Manasseh. And I am least in my father's house. I'm the least thought of. So you just chose the poorest and the least thought of in the whole camp. 3 million people, whatever it is. But look what you just chose. Now, let me show you how the anointing works. Come with me. Now, how many of you know Gideon fleeced the Lord? When I say that, I mean he put a fleece out there. He said, now, if you're really calling me, when I wake up in the morning, have that fleece, that wool there to be wet and the ground to be dry around it. He woke up and it was so. Then he said, well, let me try this one more time. He said, I'm going to bed tonight and I have the fleece or that to be dry and the ground wet. Woke up next morning, boom, so forth. So God answered him on that basis. But the point that I want to make to you is don't you try to fleece God, because you'll get fleeced. The devil knows that. That passed away with the Old Testament. That was Gideon. That's not us. We have the Spirit of God. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now, look at Numbers chapter 22. Let me know when you get there, please. Numbers chapter 22. And let me know when you get there. Now, this is a man named Balaam. And people are still trying to wonder who he was. I mean, he claimed to be a prophet, but then there's something kind of off. But anyway, Balaam now is being surrounded by Israel, and Israel's multiplying, and Balaam now is getting a little paranoid. And he sent, verse 5, he sent messengers therefore to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Phethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and do what? Curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. All right, so this is kind of a divination thing, kind of a witchcraft thing, a sorcery thing. So now Balaam, really in his heart, I think he knows what to do. He knows that he is not supposed to curse the children of Israel. God says, whatever I bless, don't you curse. That's why he doesn't want you to speak against one another. And so what has happened now? What has happened is now Balaam says, well, let me seek the Lord. And he said, well, I better not go. Well, they went back and told Balak about it. And Balak sent some of his richest, now I'm putting this on my own words, some of his probably most distinguished, most eloquent speaking, most politically correct representative that he had. He said, go get him and tell him that I'll give him some money or whatever. And he goes and he tells him, they go and tell him, he said, well, let me seek the Lord again. Well, now, he sought the Lord one time. I'm just telling you, when the God tells you something one time, he didn't change his mind in a day. You got what I'm saying? So what does he do? He decides to go. And when he decided to go, he was riding on a donkey. Well, I'll let you read it yourself from verse 22. But if I can just go all the way down in verse 22, let me start at verse 24. But when the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Balaam hit the donkey. Boom! And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass or donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with the staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that thou mayest smite me three times?" I'm letting you know something. You know you're in trouble when your donkey starts speaking to you. Now, my point to you is that notice, God's anointing came on a donkey and he preached. Let me come over here. No, the reason why I want you to see this is because you don't qualify in this. It's God who qualifies you. I understand how many degrees you've got. I understand how many and much experience you've got and so forth. But the anointing is some super on your natural. It is something that will enable you beyond what you naturally can do. Say amen to that. And you can choose a man named Gideon who was poor and probably had no education. And God used him to lead a mighty army. What did he do? He empowered him intellectually, empowered him academically, empowered him practically. I'm talking about God can put a formula in your mind and you never took physics. Now, you've got to hear what I'm saying, because you've got to have faith in that anointing to get that anointing. Yes. Say amen to this here. Yes. Now, in the donkey's case, God can do that because the donkey is not a human. But God came on and this donkey began to preach. Said, "Now, why are you beating me? Don't you know I've been loyal to you for these many years? Don't you know something must be happening that I'm going to just drop down under you like that?" Say amen to that. See, but because of Balaam, and I believe his disobedience, he lost his discerning. Couldn't see. And that angel, eventually, his eyes were open. Eventually he saw it. The angel said, "Let me tell you, if that donkey hadn't dropped, I would have run you through with this sword." That donkey saved his life. Now, I'm telling you, if God can take an anointing and put it on a donkey, and he start preaching to you, why can't he put his anointing on you to do whatever he's called you to do? Say amen to that. See, I think the difference is that the donkey won't fight him. Say amen to that. Y'all better hear what I'm talking about. Now, this is one of the biggest things. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Say anointing. Anointing. Say, "I am anointed." I will guess that there have been times God has wanted to do something with you and through you. But because of our either ignorance or resistance to God's persuasion, that he couldn't do a thing with you. Say amen to that. And what we've got to do is realize, wait a minute, This anointing is there. And wherever God leads me, he's going to anoint me so that I can do it with, I can do it better than anybody else that's around me. Look what it said in verse 26 of chapter 1 of Corinthians. For ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen, come on, help me with it. The what kind of thing? Of foolish things. Now, let's go to one more place. Let's go to 1 Kings and chapter 3, please. 1 Kings chapter 3. Boy, if y'all don't get anything else, get that tonight. You don't ever say I'm not qualified. I said, don't ever say I'm not qualified. You are anointed. I said, you are anointed. You are anointed with wisdom, with understanding, with counsel, with might. You are anointed. All that stuff is in you. Oh, it's all in you right now. It's on you right now. I said, it's on you right now. Shandarabahasata. It's on you right now. I'm talking about strategies. It's on you right now. Answers to problems in your house. It's on you right now. The spirit of counsel rests upon you right now. And anybody that's listening to me, the spirit of knowledge and wisdom and understanding and counsel and the fear of the Lord is resting upon you right now. 1 Kings in chapter 3. Glory to God. Boy, I'm stirring up that anointing now. I can sense it. I can sense it. I'm stirred. That anointing is getting stirred up right now. I said that anointing is getting stirred up right now. That thing in you is just stirring up right now. Ha la 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 ba shata. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. See, praying in the Holy Ghost is one way you stir up that anointing. Yes, 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 yes. Glory to God. All right, now this is Solomon. This is Solomon. All right. Verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went into Gibeon to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Then Gibeon the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give you. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercies, according as he walked before thee in truth, and the righteous and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. In another place it says wisdom, to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I give according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto you. and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all of thy days. Now he talked about walking his ways. Verse 16, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in that one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together, there was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid him. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaiden slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give one half to one, and one half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Notice, the night he asked for it, God gave it to him. The next day, he placed a demand on it, and it manifested. Last place, Daniel chapter 5. You have to place a demand on the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Daniel chapter 5. Let me know when you get to Daniel chapter 5. All right, now this is a situation here. And this is a situation where some fingers wrote something on the wall. And Belteshazzar was a king at that particular time. And so what happened is, verse 9, then was the king Belteshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom, in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy God. Ooh, underline that. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in that same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And Daniel was brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent what? Wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could what? Not show the interpretation of this thing. I'm telling you that the wisdom and understanding and the knowledge that God has given you is going to exceed anything that the people of the world will have. Now, this, I won't go through it this time, but this takes a demand to be placed on it. You have to, these things just don't flow. You have to believe it and receive it as yours. And God is empowering you intellectually right now. I'm speaking prophetically. And empowering you academically and empowering you practically. I don't care how much academic knowledge you got, he's going to take you up another level. He's going to empower you practically. That means something that you have to do with your hands. He's going to empower you to do that as well. Say amen to that. Now, there were some that lost the anointing. One, 1 Kings 13, just put it down. The old prophet who was around the king, because he wouldn't speak the words that God gave him, he lost the anointing and God had to import a new prophet in town. 1 Kings chapter 18, that is when all these prophets of Baal, they got up under Jezebel and they compromised the anointing that was on their lives and lost that. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, this is when Saul had the anointing. But because he feared the people, the anointing left him. Over in 1 Kings chapter 22, that's when a bunch of prophets told Jehoshaphat to go up with Ahab and fight the battle. But Jehoshaphat said something. He said, "Is there not a true prophet in this place?" And they said, "Well, there's a man named Micaiah, but I hate him, because he doesn't speak good things. He seemed to always speak something that troubles me." And Jehoshaphat said, "Call him." And they called Micaiah. And when he came, he said to them, they said, "Should we go up and fight the battle or not?" Micaiah said, "What did the other prophets say?" They said, "To go up and we'll win." He said, "Well, go on up and win." They said, "You tell us what the Lord said." He said, "Here's what the Lord said. I saw Israel going up to battle and scattered. They got killed, men were destroyed, and so forth." And what did the king do? He slapped the prophet and put the prophet in jail. He thought that just by shutting the prophet's mouth, he could get some victory. He went up there to fight that battle and even changed clothes with somebody. Took off his kingly clothes, Ahab, and put them on somebody else. Well, what happened? The Lord knows exactly who he was. He received an arrow right through his heart. I'm here to tell you right now that the anointing of God is not only to protect you, not only to prosper you, but the anointing of God gives you this presence of God. That once that anointing comes on you and lays on you, boy, I tell you, there's a feeling about that that you don't want to come out of. Say amen to that. Give the Lord a praise, would you? Now, remember what I said, I read Psalm chapter 51, where David had sinned against God. And he said that, "Lord, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity." And he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So one of the things, if you miss God, repent. I mean, right away. And watch that anointing come back on your life. Because God has a job for you to do and you will fulfill your destiny. In the name of Jesus. Say amen to that. Did y'all get something out of that tonight? Wow. If you're here, praise God. If you're here, whew, You know, I don't want you to be timid anymore. Don't be timid anymore. Now, wait on God now. Because a lot of what's been happening in the church has been flesh. It's been flesh. And I have to say what I got to say.
Amen.
Hadn't been spirit. But if you wait on God, He's going to empower you. He's going to give you some answers that's going to fix some situations in your house, in your body, and in your family within 30 days. And Yeah, the struggles. I want you to just receive this. Your struggle is now over. Just receive it. Just receive it. Now don't try to analyze it or anything. Just receive what I said. I said, just receive what I said. Your struggle is now over. Where you have been battling finances, you won't have to battle them anymore after this week. That battle will be over now. And you receive what I just said right now. I said abundance is coming into your house. Your scripture is Psalm chapter 112, verses 1 through 3. Wealth and riches are in your house. They're in there right now. Ah, ha, ha, ha. You're going to see things in the Word of God that you never saw before. Now, Father, open their eyes so they can see it now like they've never seen it before. Because faith is going to come like it never has been before. Now, remember what I said. You got to receive it by faith. I said you have to receive it by faith. Ah, ha, ha. Boy, I just feel the prophetic anointing. Ah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Praise God. Uh-huh. Woo-wee. Yep. My goodness. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Ah, ha. Whew. Arabashata, basata. I'm just trying to see what the Lord has to say here. This is. Yeah, you have to press into this. You have to press into this. God pours water on ground that's thirsty. You have to press into this. Ah, Lord, let me get this, these souls in here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. All right, now it's the Spirit of God. He's in the house. And that anointing, I want you to take this now and know that that anointing is on you right now. Have not I sent thee? That's what I keep hearing. Have not I sent thee? I don't care what you feel that you don't have. The anointing will make the difference. All right, I'm looking for people now who know that you don't have a relationship with God, but you've come here tonight. And since you've been here, God has been speaking to you. And you're where I was some years ago, and what happened was my sister came and took me to a meeting and changed my life forever. So if you're here and you know that I'm talking with you and talking to you right now, I want to pray the same prayer for you that they prayed for me years ago. I'm not asking you to join the church. You can do that tonight or do it when God gives it to you. But what I'm asking you to do now is come home to Jesus. Let him take your life, because he'll do things with you that you never could ever do on your own. So if there's anybody right here tonight, you know that you're not right with God. Let me pray for you right now, whoever you are. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair and come up here and stand with me at the altar right now. Come on down.